All right, this is a Solomon Investor Podcast. I am your host, Blake Templeton, and I have with me Scott Kane. Scott Kane's one of our investors. He actually is in commercial real estate. And Scott, I'm so glad to have this time with you to spend and just process through what's happening in the market right now. So welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate the invite, Blake. Proud to be here.
It's time to stop trusting the public markets and look to history's first trillionaire on how to build real, lasting wealth. Look, over the past 14 years, we've applied these exact principles in more than 300 plus transactions. Not one single investor has lost money. That trillionaire was King Solomon. We'll be sharing his wisdom on how to build wealth in a way that's translated for the 21st century investor. My name is Blake Templeton, and this is the Solomon Investor Podcast. Let's start with, we've known each other, 5 years?
At least.
Yeah, in that ballpark.
It's been a little longer than that, brother. It's probably been closer to 8.
And it probably has been closer to 8, yeah. And you had money, is it IRA that you had first invested with us, right, in the beginning?
That's correct.
And you had that IRA where? Where did you have that in the beginning?
I was at Fidelity and then moved it into Intrust where we could do something with it and, self-directed.
Okay, perfect. And so, most of our listeners find themselves in that same place where, whether it's a 401, it's IRA, could be a pension, and they have that money that's been, it's been put into the centralized system, whether it started when they were in their 20s and they, just started putting money away in maybe a company match or something, right. And they find themselves, with a chunk of money. And at this point, most of our listeners don't really have any other noticeable thing that they're doing with the money, but putting it into the public market. And it's been sitting there for so long and it's rode the waves and the roller coasters. And as a Solomon investor, we have three essential dimensions of our investments. And we have the public market investments, that's like the centralized market, the stock market, and then we have the private market. And for you, that's your world you live in. You live in the private market. You see the tangible, you see the difference. But most people, ironically, they just don't even know that it even exists, that they could even invest into it. For you living in that world, being in commercial real estate, And then investing with us, in our properties, what goes through you knowing, like, for instance, let's just talk about the pandemic for a minute. We're going to be in this season of the consequences from quantitative easing and printing money for quite some time. What's the difference of what you see people feeling in the public market versus an investment in the private market, like the emotional differences?
Well, as a family, we still have some money in the stock market, and you can watch that go up and down on a daily basis. It moved 500 to 1500 points. And that it is very emotional. You think you're, making or losing money on a daily basis when in fact, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but you're not really in control of any of that. What we've seen in real estate is that the company that I work with does primarily multifamily, and they big hoopla about people not paying their rents. Well, that's not what we see. People are paying their rents. We're getting the same kind of returns that we've always gotten on our properties, and so it shows that asset to be very stable. That real estate asset continues to grow in value. It continues to return good cash flow. So there's just emotional calming effect. One, that you working with you guys, God-centered company. Two, you've got a tangible asset, real estate that year over year, decade over decade, continues to appreciate, show additional value, and throws off good cash flow. So it's what I call the full meal deal. So it's what we're looking for in a good investment as a family so that we can build something.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And one thing you mentioned was control, that you didn't have control in the public market. And I was just talking with another one of our investors a few days ago, and they were saying that some of their friends had just retired and the husband locked himself in, you know, against the TV on the regular each morning and just wanted to know what his investment was doing. And the reason, you know, it's funny, the reason though is because he knows internally he has no control. So now he hurts more because he has more focus on what he has no control over. And so I appreciate you saying that, because that's one of the biggest shifts is, you know, as a Solomon investor, you're actually, in general, God's calling us to be a king and take ownership of our investments. And how we take control is by putting it into the private market. And you know, for most people, they just don't even know that that's even possible. Like, I could do that. Like, I'm not touching my money right now. Doesn't someone else have to go do that? And yes, what we call a Solomon general, like Boron Capital, we actually, yes, we take your money, we put it in, but you're now in the private market. And one of the big differences we talk about, like in the public market, is that the fees are actually what eat away at the actual earnings. You know, for instance, like a simple mutual fund, as you know, a mutual fund, that average percent on that mutual fund in fees is 3.17%. And the average mutual fund might only produce, you know, 7 or 8%, but the fees come out of that. Right. And so, you know, that's 39% of the actual profit, the fees in that public market investment get eaten up. And so in the private market, you know, especially for, as a Solomon investor, we don't have fees. Boron Capital doesn't charge fees. And so that gives you control over that asset. Share with me more about cash flow. I mean, some people, most people, Scott, actually don't even know what cash flow is. I mean, it's ironic, but for most people, 45 to 75, they've never seen cash flow. More than 50% of stocks don't even pay dividends. And if they do, they're teeny weeny. So help us understand like the tangibleness, like what's cash flow mean to you? Like, what does that really feel like, look like? You know, kind of.
It's where you get either a monthly or quarterly distribution based on the cash flow of the asset. So if you've got, say, an apartment complex, for instance, and it's throwing off, just pick a number, $100,000 a month in free cash flow, and they're going to take the investors, and after they pay all the bills and come down with what the profit is, the free cash flow, they'll take that on, usually on a quarterly basis, and they'll split that amongst the investors and return it to them as a dividend or a cash payment out on their investment. So that's the cash flow aspect of it. And you still hold your investment in the asset. And at some point, like we did with Ashbury, the asset gets sold, and that's what there's another payday there. So, I mean, there's different ways to look at it. If you're a long-term player in real estate, you can have the appreciation of the asset over a long period of time, and then at some point, a big payday when you sell it. But in the meantime, you can enjoy cash flow. So that's the beautiful thing about the two-dimensional approach or three-dimensional approach that you guys operate under.
Yeah, I love that. 2 points you just made are really, really powerful. I want to highlight those. Is one is you get to enjoy the cash flow, and most people, you know, they're like, is it, can I actually touch it? Can I feel it? Cause in my IRA or my, in my 401, or it's just set it and forget it. And the ironic thing is the rule of set it and forget it, like leave it in for the long haul. That rule only works in the private market. That rule doesn't work in the public market, because in the public market, every economist would say there's always going to be a correction at least every 10 years, if not every 5. So if you leave it in for the long haul, I mean, if you go back and do the analysis of a big picture of someone leaving their money in, we've done that with so many clients, and yeah, they made a big return at one point, but they left it in and then it corrected. So they lost a big portion of that return, and then they lost a big portion of that return, and then it corrected and it went, or they had appreciation. And when they shook it all out, the majority of them made less than 4% in the market over the span, while the product wasn't even tangibly correlated to the actual earnings of the company. So that long-term investment, that's a beautiful thing in real estate. You just mentioned, you know, appreciation. The longer you're in, you're actually making tangible cash flow. The property's appreciating. It's backed by collateral. And then you can actually enjoy it. So you could compound it. It's like with a, as a solemn investor, you could compound that and where it's making money on money on money, or you could actually take that cash flow now. And so some of our, you know, retirees that are listening to the show, I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize the amount they have in that 401 and that IRA and that pension, making a set fixed rate return as a solemn investor, you could actually live on that monthly return.
Right. And, you know, one thing like that I want to share with everybody is, and didn't really realize this till it happened, this pandemic. I have these self-directed IRA. I've got quite a bit of cash sitting there. It's not directed to anything right at this moment, which kind of, you look at it two different ways. One is you've got cash, you know, there, but also it's like I've got a substantial sum of money that's not making me anything right this minute. Well, a la coronavirus, and you saw what happened to the market. If I had been invested in the market during that time, I would have lost 20% in a matter of weeks. Now, I'm not making a lot of money, but I sure didn't lose anything. And I'm sitting on the sidelines with a pile of cash. And so when the market did back up, all kinds of opportunities. I mean, everything has a time to buy. And if you've got cash ready to go, then you can get in at the optimal time and things just get that much better. But yeah, it's being self-directed is, in my opinion, the way to go if you're interested in that kind of investment.
Yeah, and the beautiful part about what you said is being self-directed. So, you know, he's talking just in layman terms for those who have an IRA, you can self-direct the IRA and actually take control of that and put that in the private market. And you putting it in the private market allows you to actually have collateral, to put tangible collateral as the property. Ashbury, he was referencing his IRA was in Ashbury, and the property itself was more valuable than all the investors together, the amount they had in it. So that actually stands there and is the protector, the fortress, if you will, around their money. And so his IRA was able to then have money poured back into the IRA to actually fund the IRA. Whereas in the public market, unfortunately, it doesn't have a collateral. So it's not even backed by the companies that it's invested into, because it's not actually invested into companies, it's invested into a stock. And the reality is as he had mentioned, as Scott had mentioned, the that number can go up and down and up and down. And what's it based on? You know, here's the thought, Scott, I'm so amazed at how if the stock value was based on company earnings, as you and I know, it would be based on a quarterly update, not a daily update. So the balance sheets and the actual analysis of the books would be quarterly, and then we might have a shift every 3 months in the stock market if it was backed by the earnings of the actual companies. But as you and I know, and everyone listening, you literally have a minute by minute, you know, update. And so then it's not based on the earnings of the company, it's truly based on the emotions that are in the market. And that's why we have the, the halts in the market, where in the stock exchange, they actually freeze the market. Well, why would you ever have to freeze it if it was backed by the earnings? You wouldn't know what the earnings shifted, and nothing's going to shift enough until 3 months later. And so, you know, that just really helps us understand in a season like this. I was looking at, for instance, on Warren Buffett, he's got Berkshire Hathaway has $137 billion on the sidelines, not invested in cash. And just like you mentioned, the number one public market investor if he's got his money on the sidelines, then you got to understand that he's saying it's too volatile. I mean, the market's not a good market. It's not a value market. And we look at the Buffett indicator even, and he has this picture of what the stock value divided by the GDP of a country, and it needs to be in the 70s, 80s, and it's in the 150s, right. And it's almost as high as it's ever been. And so, you know, if he's on the sidelines and his statement would be, you know, be greedy when others are fearful and be fearful when others are greedy, and everyone clearly has been quite greedy to jump in, you know, this is that time of reckoning to realize, man, most people listening to this show, you don't have 20 more years. And if you did take a massive dip, you don't have 20 more years to gain it back. And then the point is not just to gain it back. Like, that just put you back at square one. The point was actually to thrive in the years that you worked so hard to make this money in.
Correct. Correct. And I've ridden that roller coaster up and down a couple of times already in my lifetime. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I got tired of that, starting over.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the consistency, you know, so as a Solomon investor, King Solomon, you know, the book, The Solomon Way, is about King Solomon 3,000 years ago in the Bible. And he actually was the first trillionaire, and he actually put everything in the Bible and shows us how he does it. And he starts out with the first dimension of the three dimensions is wisdom. It's God's wisdom that he builds the investments. And, you know, someone asked me, you know, well, I mean, Solomon with, you know, all his money, he would have, you know, he would have kind of controlled the market, and he would have put his money in the stock market. And the idea is, no, he wouldn't have put it in the market. And the reason he wouldn't have put it in the market is because he would have no control, because the market's controlled by emotions, and his wisdom would have said, no, I would control the physical, tangible asset. And that's what, you know, a Solomon investor has the ability to do. Share with me some more on, what are your goals in your investments in tangibles? How do you see, you know, maybe how do you see hitting your goals with, you know, investments in the private market versus the public market?
Well, I mean, I gave it a pretty good go in buying stocks and things like that. I've traded commodities. I've done about everything there is to do in the stock market, mutual funds, you name it. And I just didn't see the kind of progress as far as actually making the kind of returns that you could see in real estate. That's why I'm in real estate now. I'm on my second, third career now. But I was drawn to it because, quite frankly, that's where I could get the best return and build some real wealth. Not just on paper, but
yeah.
But land is the one thing there's never going to be any more of. And I was just drawn to it. And I've seen other people be very successful buying real estate, holding it for long periods of time, and then, you know, sell it when the time's right, buy more real estate. And real estate has the ability to produce income. So what I was looking for in our family was to build a large asset base, and then also build a substantial retirement income. To think that you could retire on Social Security, I don't want to do that. I know people have to. I just don't want to be one of those people. And I really want to build something for my family. I want to teach my children that there's other ways to acquire, build, and maintain a good, healthy base for your family. And I think being in control of it, one, is the start. You need to be focused on, you know, we pray on everything before we do it. I'm not going to put my money anywhere before I pray about it. And I pray a lot. So I'm slow to move sometimes, maybe too slow, but definitely going to do that. And then to have something tangible to put your money into, like real estate, be it land or apartments or, you know, hospitality, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's an income producing property, It could be commercial real estate. It could be residential. It could be a lot of different things. But I think you just find what works for you, build a nice portfolio of stuff that you're comfortable with and that it returns a decent return that you can build something with. And that's really our focus over the next, I've kind of got a 10, 15 year plan that I'd like to work through and hopefully carry that on down through my children.
That's great. Share with me a little bit, you know, as a Solomon investor, when you invested with Boron Capital, some people, you know, who are in the public market, again, they've done the 50 hours a week for 50 weeks for 50 years and the money, they've just never touched the money and they just kind of in a bubble in abstract land in the market. When they activate their net worth and they, you know, rise up, you know, as a king or a king or a queen in the king's court, and they say, you know what, I want to take control. I didn't even know how and what to do, but I want to take control. And they actually put the money in the private market and they invest as a Solomon investor. Fast forward, paint a picture for them. Like, what were your responsibilities on Asbury? Like, what did you have to go do? And what did you have to watch and manage and analyze? And, you know, did you have to do anything in that investment?
No, I probably tried to do more than I should have. I was in Blake's business all the time. Lots of questions, but he was very, very open and honest with me about what was going on and how it was going on. I knew just enough about real estate and the multifamily world to be dangerous. But no, I really didn't have to do anything except trust in the Lord and trust in Boron and sit back and watch it happen. But that was, and honestly, you know, you and I, we have a story that goes back a ways. We'd talked over a period of years before I came on as an investor with Boron because I wanted to see who Blake Templeton was and what your company was all about. And if my thought was, if he's still here in 5 years, then I'll see about doing something with this young man. And I did, and it turned out well. So I have no complaints, and I'm sure we'll do business again. So, but yeah, as far as getting involved and that, honestly, that's a big reason of why I did go with you guys, because I certainly didn't have the time or the knowledge, either one, to go out and do what you guys did with Asbury. But it was fun to watch it happen and be involved and see the process that you went through to turn that property around and then sell it for a nice profit.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, one thing you mentioned was that your heart to actually go before the Lord and pray. And that's the first dimension of how we run, you know, Boron Capital as a Solomon investor. You know, a Solomon investor leans not on his own understanding, but he would then lean on the King of Kings understanding. And, you know, one thing that surprises people when they ask me, you know, how Blake, how in 14 years and 300 plus transactions, how has not one single person lost money? Like, that's unheard of. And, you know, we have a massive due diligence that we go through. Massive vetting property, especially if we're going into a new industry. We may spend 8 months in due diligence crunching numbers and algorithms, and we have 13 proprietary optics and metrics that have to blend and match for year over year and percentages. But those might all line up and those may all have a green check mark. But if I don't have peace, if we don't have peace as a company on that investment or that portfolio that we're acquiring, man, we just can't do it, because if his wisdom sees something that I don't see, then he would not give me peace. But then in the same position, doing the optics and metrics, and it would, there's been properties that have lined up on majority of the points, but I didn't get check marks on everything. And so my leaning on my own understanding would actually say, don't do it. And then I had massive flood of peace, like an absolute transcending peace from the Lord of like, no, this is good. Then we purchased it. And right. Then some things got opened up and we realized, oh my gosh, there's another income stream. There's another income stream. Oh my gosh, this is better than we actually thought it was going to be. And so that wisdom, you know, and most people don't understand that it's easy to make the money. It's hard to actually keep the money.
Right.
And so it's the wisdom of God that actually has to run our investments. And I have had, you know, agnostic individuals come to me and say, man, I don't even believe how you believe. I'm not even into all that. But man, I have you invest all my money because if you are right, like I trust your conviction for like your truth. If you are right, I want the wisdom of God to protect my investments.
Right.
And yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate that thought on do what?
They need to get with the program.
They need to get with the program. That's right. You know, so this three-dimensional asset, that's what stood the test of time. That's what stood the test of time for King Solomon. And, you know, for 40 years, he reigned as king. He owned more territory, more land than any other king before him. He was more wealthy than any other king before him. And we go back and we look at these principles and we look at the ingredients of what did he do? How did he do it? And he actually had mental frameworks in the private market that stood the test of time. And the basics were the wisdom of God, walking in the wisdom of God. Number two, the tangible asset, having an actual, your money tied to a tangible, it collateralized the actual investment. And then the cash flow. And, you know, you mentioned cash flow in on Ashbury and or the thought of, you know, getting cash flow is something that for your future, a 10 to 15 year plan. I love that thought line because most people don't understand the value. If you're not getting cash flow, if you're not getting if you don't have that tangible return in the public market, literally, it's just based on the emotional gains. And right now, everything's already overvalued. Right. So if someone was to stay in right now and like and not activate their wealth and pull out, you'd have to think, you know, I mean, you mentioned before we got on the idea of how that world kind of traps you in the feeling that you can't get out because you might have FOMO, you might have fear of missing out on something.
Yeah, a lot of financial advisors, especially you go into mutual funds, if you're a young person or even if you're an older person that hasn't really dug into it and looked at how it works and paid attention to some of the ups and downs of the market and how they evaluate things and how the way the government's just printing money right now, it throws everything out of whack. So there's no true valuation. We like Warren Buffett sitting on the sideline with the enormous resources he has. You know, you can follow a guy like that. You can pay attention to what the good Lord says and, you know, just get with some people with some wise counsel. But they do want you to feel trapped in that mutual fund or in that IRA or whatever you're in. And it's absolutely your money and you can take it and take control of it and then place it where you feel good about it and things that you feel like will follow what your investment strategies are for your life and your retirement and where you want to go. Rather than just getting in line with the masses and watching a small gain come in or a big loss. It can go either way and it can go very quickly. So yeah, it was a little unnerving at first, but once I did a lot of study on it and I took a couple of courses and I learned about self-directed IRAs. I studied with quite a few different books where you can read about that stuff and learn that you can control it and you can return a much better return and be in more control of your finances. So that's why we made the move.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, for those of you who are interested, you've got an IRA, you want to know what those next steps are, and you want to know how to do a self-directed, you want to know what those next steps are of what Scott's talking about. Now is the time to actually take action. That first action, just make the decision. I want more information. And for those who are, man, you're fed up with the drama and the roller coaster. You understand, like, man, I can't trust my 50 years of everything I put into you working so hard for that nest egg. If I can't control it, I sure know they're not going to control it well. And so I want to be able to activate that and put that with someone who actually can roll their sleeves up and get into the trenches and who actually go work for me in my investments. And that's what a Solomon investor does. A Solomon investor begins to think for themselves. A Solomon investor decides, you know what? I don't want to pay the excessive fees for someone who's making money, whether I make money or not. A Solomon investor says, you know what? I want to actually take control and I want to go liberate my financial future and create an actual return that I can count on. And before I forget, we have live trainings. We have my book, Net Worthless, lots of different tools that I want to give you. What I want you to do is pull out your cell phone. For all the listeners, pull out your cell phone and text the word Solomon to the phone number 31996. Text the word Solomon, like you're going to send me a text message. Text the word Solomon to 31996, and then that'll begin a communication with us, and we'll communicate back with you. We'll send you a link to get those goodies, and we want to actually help you make this process, this shift. You know, as Scott said, it's less of this big, scary, you know, bridge, this gap, then, you know, we're making it too big of a deal. It's literally just a decision, take control. And so right now you have that opportunity. You see what's happening in the market. You see the unemployment rate's crazy. You see businesses shutting down, but the market literally is at the all-time high. It's clearly not correlated. And so we want to actually be wise as Solomon investors. We want to actually look at the future. You know, Scott made a good point. He's creating something for his future. He's creating something for his kids. He's actually wants to teach them principles of wealth. And those principles of wealth come from wisdom of God. And so again, pull out your phone, text Solomon to 31996. And I would love to send you those goodies and continue this relationship with you. Scott, I've enjoyed this time with you, man. Just getting to shoot the breeze and just talk back and forth about the wisdom and the nuggets of how you've enjoyed being a Solomon investor, and look forward to doing this again with you soon.
Same here, Blake. Enjoyed it very much.
Hey, very good. Guys, again, this is a Solomon Investor Podcast.
All right, listen, I got to level with you. We've all seen the bubble burst over and over again. 1929, 1987, 2000, 2008, and now 2020. The fallacy of the stock markets continue to be exposed before our very eyes. And no matter where you're at right now, no matter where you're at in the markets, it's time to take action and escape the trap. You must activate and protect your net worth. Your net worth must cash flow, and we want to help you do that. So do this. Text the word Solomon to 31996, and you will get instant access to the step-by-step training guide every Solomon investor uses to get started. It's chock full of current wealth principles, financial facts, case studies, and the frameworks of King Solomon translated for the 21st century investor. Again, text Solomon to 31996.